Welcome to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. Let's get today's show started with your host and founder of the BD Academy, Rob Brown.
Welcome to the show, and I'm thrilled to have with me today Barbara Coonan. Hello, Barbara.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing great. Wonderful to have you with us. Barbara, there'll be some people listening that may not have come across you. You are the author of Beyond Billable Hours, and this is your whole rationale, isn't it? We're going to talk about that. But for those people, just tell us a little bit about your background and your areas of expertise.
Yeah, thanks for the introduction and thanks for having me on the show. I've worked for law firms basically throughout my whole career. I made a small sidestep when I joined a hospitality company in Qatar for a couple of months, and I realized very soon that wasn't for me. So I focus mainly on professional services. And over the years, I've really developed a keen interest to help individuals to really thrive and build their practice. So at the moment, I work for INS and I'm their global head of marketing and business development, which means I lead quite a big team who's spread across the UK, other parts of Europe, the Middle East and Asia.
Well, we're in crazy times, Barbara. So let's define some terms. So you're head of marketing and business development, and accountants, professionals listening, they don't often understand those words. Do they? So do you want to just give us some definitions? If we went to your dictionary of life and business, what might we come up with?
Yeah, absolutely. Business development to me is what's in the words, to develop the business. So to focus on your clients, to focus on strategy. How do you really grow your practice in the sense of going after the low-hanging fruit, so your current client base, but also looking at developing new business from both existing clients as well as from new clients. So looking at market opportunities, for example, is part of that.
Right.
If you speak about marketing, I feel marketing is everything that really supports business development. So anything that you can do, the activities that you can come up with in order to reach out to those clients, that would be marketing. So setting up a campaign, running your social media, that would be marketing supporting your strategy, so your business development as well.
That makes good sense. So where does sales fit in then? Because professional services, they don't like the word selling, do they?
No, it's still pretty much considered as a dirty word. I've done a couple of training sessions for law firms with the topic sales for lawyers.
Right.
And the first thing that gets to them is like, ooh, sales, but we're not salesmen.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. But at the end of the day, all the professional services firms are technically sales-driven organizations. I mean, this is what we do on a day-to-day basis. Speaking to clients, engaging with clients, making sure we get more work from existing clients, etc. Effectively, it is sales. We don't like to call it that way, but it is. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a business, right?
That's a really good point. If you look at the modern-day professional, obviously, they didn't come into this role to sell, but if they are not generating revenue for the firm, obviously they're earning fees, which is generating revenue. But if they're not creating new opportunities, it's difficult for them to get promoted, to move on in the career, and to show their value to the firm, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, true.
But if you look at the business development skill set of a modern professional, they're trained to be technically proficient, super smart, know all about tax and audit and all of the stuff, say, that an accountant needs or a lawyer needs, but they've never really had any training around business development and selling, have they?
I've spoken to so many individuals throughout my career who came to me and asked me, Barbara, I want to develop my practice, I want to build it, but I just don't know how, I don't know where to start. And I would never approach it in a way that I would think, oh my God, how can you not know? This is like pretty much common sense, right?
Yeah.
To me it is, but I have a business degree. So it's very different from having an accountancy degree, a law degree, etc. And as you say, those schools don't teach you the commerciality of the business. So it's no surprise that it sounds like it's still a bit of rocket science to people, even though it obviously isn't. It's quite easy, but you just have to know how to do it.
Yeah. We'll go into what you teach them a little bit more with your methodologies, but how coachable do you feel people in professional services are as a breed? Because we know they've studied hard to get their exams, but being coachable in the job is a different thing.
Well, there's a few issues there, and I'm glad you raised it, because what I've seen throughout my career is that there is obviously those who are very much willing and open to learn. So probably it's a generation issue. So I see that there is more interest from, you know, younger fee earners, or however we call them, accountants, lawyers, who come into the business and are very eager and keen to develop, because they understand it's now part of their world. The work is not just coming in and landing on their desk. And you see some sort of hesitation with the more senior partners or fee earners generally, who have been used to that when all the work just used to flow in because of the brand of the firm. But now it doesn't really matter if you are Deloitte or if you are, you know, a small law firm or a small accounting firm or a small consultancy firm or very big. Everyone needs to be hands-on with business development. You know, the world has changed, especially now, into being all about relationships.
Now, you're very big on the word strategy, that whole notion of let's not just go out there to a networking event or do some social media. You've got to have some kind of a plan. So explain why strategy is so important to success.
Yeah, well, you can invest an awful lot of money into various different things. I mean, there's so much out there, but not everything is going to help you to succeed and to reach your bottom line. So what I think is really important, and this is something that tends to be forgotten, is what are your goals? What do you want to achieve and how do you want to achieve them? So if I would tell you now, listen, Rob, I'm planning to climb the Mount Everest. It just pops into my mind and you would be like, oh, okay, that's a great idea. So when are you planning to do this? 2024? I'm like, no, I think next week.
Right.
Look, it would raise eyebrows, right? You would question, yeah. Okay, Barbara, maybe you are in great condition. I don't know, but still, you know, you need to plan for such event, right? You can't just do it. And it's the same for in your career when you want to plan your practice, because you have to plan for it. You can't just expect it to grow overnight. So there's lots of fee earners, professionals who came to me and said, yeah, I want to become partner in the next year or so, but I've got zero clientele. So what do I do? It's already a bit too late, isn't it?
It's slightly too late, yeah. But then when you talk about strategy, I find with us in the Business Development Academy, there are so many different ways to win business. And the way one person does it might not necessarily be the way another person do it, because we've all got different skills and personalities and weapons and goals. So I know you're talking about a sustainable strategy. So just unpack that a little bit for us.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, everyone has their own approach and you need to follow what is most common and most natural to you. So I would never suggest someone who's pretty much dreading attending networking events, for example, I would never suggest you now turn into this networking guru and go out there and network. Yeah. If it's not in your nature, if this is not what you like, then you will never succeed in it, because I'd rather focus on the strength that you have. So for example, you're not much of a networker, but you are very good with writing articles and that kind of stuff, then excellent. Let's focus on that and let's build that for the future, because that can help you as well. What is really important is to really put in your mind what you want to achieve. So what are your goals, and really visualize it for yourself so that you live and breathe it. And that's, I think, something that is often forgotten. So if I, for example, was a fee earner or a young accountant and I wanted to make partner in an accountancy firm, then I would say to myself, in 2024, I will be a partner of this X accountancy firm and I will have a revenue turnover of 1 million a year and I will have X, Y, and Z as my key clients. And in that way, I start to feel what I'm trying to achieve. So if it makes me feel happy, excited, you know, I've achieved something which is great, incredible, I will long for that feeling all through the way until I've really achieved it.
Yeah.
It's a bit of NLP, I suppose, but that really makes a difference.
Yeah, NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. Let's talk about goals for a moment. You mentioned earlier how important it is with the strategy, but presumably, Barbara, the goals for an accounting or a professional firm might be different to the goals of the individual. So how do you put those two together to create a business development, a growth strategy?
So the importance of setting goals is also, as you say, to figure out whether your personal goals and your career goals actually match what the firm wants to achieve.
Right, yeah.
And maybe you'll figure out that it doesn't line up. And it's fine, because then you have a decision to make. You can make those choices and you can think about it more properly. And you could maybe understand like, oh, this is actually not really the right place for me to be. Mm. So if I want to match my views and strategy and my plan with the firm's plan, I need to find a firm, you know, that I can align with. Otherwise, it won't work. But obviously, having, you know, the overall sort of like firm strategy in front of you and understand what it is, it's easier for you to adjust your own to that and also to make it, you know, sustainable.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And there's an element of values in there and culture and how much support I'm going to be given to achieve these goals. That's part of the decision to stay with the firm, isn't it?
Absolutely. And you often see, because sometimes people have certain goals and the firm cannot meet those goals, right? So there is, for example, only a number of fee earners that can be made partner in a certain period of time. But if I personally want to achieve that within, say, a year or 2 years from now, and the firm won't let me, then I need to think about that. Can I comply with that, or do I want to change?
Yeah.
Because ultimately, that has an effect on your business and how you develop your business, because you build on your clientele.
Now, you work with service professionals all over the world. In my experience, they like things to be very prescriptive and specific. In other words, do they say this? So what steps do you give them to create a sustainable strategy to grow? Is it quite prescriptive like that?
It is. And that's what my book is about as well. It is very prescriptive. And it may, for someone who's a bit further advanced, I suppose, it may just not be really relevant. But I can't emphasize enough that you need to start early. Right. The earlier you start in your career, the better it's going to be. And the reason why it's prescriptive is for the reasons you say. I appreciate we work with people who are intellectually very, very well developed, very knowledgeable. But I think in this element, they might be lacking some form of background, because the schools that they've been going to, the unis, they don't teach you that element.
No.
So it is important to not misunderstand what it means and to have a further explanation of what they should be doing. So it is very prescriptive.
So talk to us about those steps, Barbara, in winning work for a professional. You've talked about their goals, and that's a great starting point. But what happens after that?
So write down for yourself. And this is the key point, right? Because I often get conversations like, yeah, but it's all in my head. And like,
Right.
No, that's not good enough. You need to write it down. You need to have a document that you can turn to every other time when you feel like you're a bit lost or you don't know what to focus on. And then you need to focus on what are your strengths and your weaknesses. Look at yourself. What can you bring to the table, not only within your own practice, but also to the firm as a whole? But also, what does the market look like? What are the opportunities and threats in the market? What is it that you need to really take into consideration? Because you can have the idea or want something which may just not really be entirely feasible. Also, a very simple question, like, what is it that you're actually selling? Who are you selling it to? And who else is selling the same service? So really looking at your core product, if you like, or the services, as well as your competition, who else is doing it?
Once you've got those things in place, you've done the due diligence, if you like, you know who you're going after, you know what you're selling, that's when you've got to take some action. And we've talked briefly that there are a few ways to do that. So what would be the next steps in a business development strategy for a professional?
So very importantly is you need to understand who you're selling to and create a list with your key contact. Often we forget the contacts that are the most obvious ones, like our colleagues, for example. They might be your internal client. List them down. What is it that you want from them? What can you get from them? What is a realistic expectation? Ideally with a revenue figure, just so that you have a target in your head and on paper, obviously. And then expand that to other ranks. So your current clients, your targets, as in those who you would like to reach out to, who you think will have a lot of work for you, but you're not getting it at the moment. But also referrals. Those could be for accountancy firms. Those could be law firms, for example. And for law firms, the other way around. Consultants, etc. And create a list of those that you think are really going to help you to develop your practice. You will focus your activities based on the people that you're after. So anything you do, say, for example, attend a webinar or a seminar or speak to people, client entertainment, sponsoring conferences, will all be in line with those people that you want to reach out to. Otherwise, it's just a waste of money.
That's very good, Barbara. And a little plug, but in my book, Build Your Reputation, I get accountants, lawyers to picture two circles. The inside circle is your network, which is who you know. And the outside circle is your reputation, which is who knows you.
Yeah.
But I completely agree with you that it starts with your network. It's foundational. Who do you know and who do you need to know? And when you build that, you build your reputation and then the opportunities come. Would you go along with that?
Absolutely agree. Your book is of much value to everyone in this profession, to be honest, because I think it's something that is lacking. I mean, fee earners, accountants, lawyers, consultants are very, very good at the work that they do. Otherwise, they wouldn't be where they were, right?
Mm.
But they are maybe not so good in promoting themselves because, again, it doesn't come naturally to most of them.
Yeah.
And building a reputation is all about, well, you know better than I do, but it's obviously leaving a track records in the market, doing the right thing, selling your products in the right way, making sure you come across as an expert. Yeah, and it needs a lot of work.
But if we say that sales is a dirty word for accountants, then networking is an equally frightening word for professionals, isn't it, Barbara? They struggle with that whole networking thing because by nature, they're mostly introverted. They're very technical. They're very detail oriented and not often the people that perhaps you and I might be.
True. I completely agree with that. However, I think it's a skill that can be learned.
Yes, of course.
Really wouldn't recommend to anyone who's not comfortable stepping into a networking event, trying to work the room. It's all going to be very clumsy and it's just not going to leave the right impression. So don't do it. If you're not comfortable, don't. But what you can learn, though, is the small things. Like LinkedIn is a great platform. You can reach out to people really easily and just say, hey, how are you? I came across your profile and it would be really, really interesting to hear more about your business or about what you do. There's no harm in that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're not doing anything wrong. Just literally the small things that we need to get a bit more comfortable with, because it is actually quite normal, even though we consider it's not normal.
And it's important, as you say, Barbara, to start early, because a network doesn't appear overnight, does it?
No, absolutely. Relationships are built on trust. We all know that. And we can only trust people if we know people. And yeah. You get to know people if you invest time, if you speak frequently, if you invest your time in them, in listening and understanding what drives them, what motivates them. And that just simply takes time. It could take years and years. So better start early.
Yes, indeed. And do you have a background in legal? Do you notice any difference between lawyers and accountants and other professionals in the way they think about and implement business development?
Not really. I know they are pretty much the same breed. And that's just because of the way the educational system works. They come from similar backgrounds in terms of education, and they haven't been taught how to run a business, how to run a team. So their skills are effectively the same level. And I put that to the test before I started to write my book, and I sent out a survey to a wide range of professionals. It appeared to me that I was right in my thinking that, yeah, the overall sort of like understanding of, for example, business development and marketing and commerciality in general is pretty much at the same level across all those firms.
Yeah. Let's talk about the book for a moment, Beyond Billable Hours. It's a great title for a book. What inspired it?
Yeah, it inspired the many meetings I had with individuals throughout my career coming to me, knocking on my door. I don't have work, Barbara. What should I do now? And I was like, well, great question. I wish I could open a drawer for you and just take out a few new cases so that you could work on those. But it doesn't work in that way in reality. So I had conversations and I tried to steer them in the right direction and speak about all the elements I've mentioned before. And I set that out in a template basically that they could use. And then they could bring that up in their career progression meetings so that they have a framework to work with. And then I thought, actually, I'm repeating myself over and over again, and I could reach a much wider audience. I want to share my knowledge. I wanted to be of use for others to help them thrive. You have to start early to be successful.
Why should professionals then read your book, Barbara?
Well, to build a professional services practice which is sustainable and therefore lasts for a very long time. And you know that the investment is going to come into the right place. There's a lot of money wasted on attending conferences, sponsorships, and oh, sounds like a brilliant idea.
So yeah, let's much do money. This.
We have to consider what is the actual return on investment. And every time someone comes to me with a suggestion like, oh, we could attend this conference, it only costs £5,000. And I'm like, but wait a minute. If you were to spend those £5,000 on client entertainment, so you would select five of your key clients and you would spend that money on them, do you think you would get more out of that rather than spending that £5,000 on the conference?
Yeah.
And almost everyone agrees with me that, yeah, that's money well spent.
Yeah.
Whereas on the conference, you reach out to God knows who.
Of course, it's very good, but we can't ignore the times that we are in. How has COVID changed the way professionals win business, Barbara?
It has changed in a way that it has made it probably more difficult in people's minds, at least. I'm not saying it is more difficult, but I think the general perception is like, yeah, but now, you know, business development's practically been taken away from us. So what are we supposed to do? What can we do from a distance? What can we do online? But there is still so much that we can do. And again, like if you talk about business development, I'd really like to talk about developing your business with your current clients, because the low-hanging fruit, it's the 80-20 rule. Everyone is familiar with it. Bring you a lot more than focusing on new clients. And especially in these times, it's obviously a lot more difficult to get in front of new clients because you just don't have those events that you can meet new people. But still, there is so much you can do. You can join platforms or online conferences. You can also join associations, get in touch with new people. And don't forget that also getting in touch with your peers, for example, so other people within your industry who may have the same profession might actually bring in new work for you. They might refer work to you because they like you. So building those relationships relationships, and we can still continue to build relationships online, is so very important.
This has been great, Barbara. If people listening want to find out more about what you do, get hold of your book, what's a good way for them to reach you?
Through my website, which is beyondbillablehours.com. There's all my contact details, and you can find more. There's a blog that I regularly update as well with some tips and tricks. And there's a LinkedIn page, which is called Beyond Billable Hours as well.
That's great. And finally, Barbara, leave us with a golden tip, if you like, for the accountants listening to this Accounting Influencers podcast who want to be more confident and effective with their business development. What would you say to them?
Well, it shouldn't come as a surprise, but I would say plan. All you need to do is make sure that you have a proper plan in place and action upon that. If you fail to plan, you're planning to fail.
Winning business really happens by accident, does it?
Yeah, it's all about building networks, trust, connecting with people, having your plan in place. As I said before, it may sound like rocket science to some of those professionals, but it really isn't. It really is a matter of action. Just get out there and make it work for yourself.
Yeah. Well, Barbara Coonan, that's been wonderful. Thanks so much for your inspirational thoughts today.
You're very welcome, and thank you very much for having me.
You've been listening to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. For show notes on today's and other episodes, plus some great blogs and resources to help accountants lead, sell, and perform at the highest levels, go to bdacademy.pro. Until next time, have a fantastic day.